We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe, a classical Hasidic book. Actually, it's called the Written Torah of Hasidic Chabad. So it's interesting. Like, this is the basics. And we're in chapter 5 of the first part. It's actually 5 parts. We're in the first one, chapter 5. This chapter is very interesting. Sounds difficult, but it's actually not. And it's interesting because the Alter Rebbe explains what actually means to learn Torah. What does it mean to learn Torah? What happens when a person learns Torah? Of course, as I mentioned many times, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Jews and for Jews and so on. But I can definitely assume that at least the general ideas that the Alter Rebbe shares in this chapter apply to non-Jews also. And we'll see why. Because it's a very rational and simple explanation of something very deep. But it's very simple explanation. So let's go. Chapter 5, Perek Hei. Uletisefes biur ba'er heitev lashon tfisa she'omar Eliyahu leis machshava tfisa ba'achule. In order to understand in a better way, in a clear explanation, the word tfisa. Tfisa means to grasp. In the previous chapter, chapter 4, the Alter Rebbe brought two, three times the same idea that appears in the Zohar, in mysticism and so on, Kabbalah, whatever you want to call it, that leis machshava tfisa beiklal. Eliyahu, Prophet Eliyahu, told Rabbi Shimon, the author of the Zohar, that there's no thought that can grasp God. Leis machshava, no thought can grasp tfisa bei. No thought can grasp God. So in order to understand, what does it mean to grasp tfisa? What does it mean to catch, to grasp, to hold on to? What does that mean? Eliyahu said this, and we have to understand this. Hine, now. When you have an intellect, let's assume, of course, intellect is within the human being and within the mind and so on. But now we're talking about intellect, like an abstract thing. So when an intellect wants to actually maskil, think about something, understand something, grasp something, I'm using many words on purpose, even though Altrebe said maskil, just one word. Because maskil is related to seichel. Seichel means intellect. Maskil means to intellectualize or whatever. I'm just made up a word in English. It doesn't matter. My English doesn't have to be perfect. But what it means is, I have a mind and I want to understand something. I want to grasp something. And now you got, you catch with your mind anything, any understanding. Muskal means something intellectual. A rational thing. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, it's a rational thing. You have to think about it. And then whatever, there's a deepness into it and so on. Now, when a mind wants to understand whatever concept he wants to understand, what happens over there? Two things happen. First one, the intellect grasps the concept. What does that mean, to grasp the concept? Just as when you pick up with your hand and you have something in your hand has to grasp, go around the thing in order to catch it. Otherwise, you can't. Like you see these great, huge basketball players, they catch the ball with one hand, like this. Wow, they really have a big hand. Okay, because at some point, their hand actually surrounds some parts of the ball, and they can catch it with one hand. Great. So the same thing happens with the seichel, with the intellect. When the intellect wants to understand something, the first thing that happens is you have to catch it with your mind. Umakifoi besichloi. And you have to surround the thing with your intellect. That means that this thing, this concept is within your head, inside your head. Viamuskal. On the other hand, look at it from the concept point of view. Nitfas umukaf umelubash besecha seicha. Shisigoi. Veiskiloi. This concept is grasped and surrounded and invested within the intellect that grasped it and catched it and understood it and knew it and so on. So, again, point number one. The intellect is, the concept is within your intellect, inside your mind. Like when you ask a person, what's in your head? Like you see the person thinking, tell me what's in your head? I'm thinking about blah, blah, blah. Okay, that idea is within your head, it's inside of you. Unless you actually verbalize it and say it to somebody else, it's inside your mind. Nobody knows what you're thinking. וגם השכל מלובש במושכל. Now comes the second part. וגם, also, another thing happens. השכל, the concept, מלובש במושכל, I'm sorry, your intellect, your mind, מלובש במושכל, is within, invested in the idea, in the concept. So your mind is in the concept. Again, two things. The concept is within your mind. That's thing number one. Thing number two, your mind is within the concept. Like when you ask a person, you see he's working on something, what are you into right now? I'm into mathematics. Are you really into mathematics? No, I'm sitting in my head, in my chair. I'm not into nothing. I'm into the air of the world, whatever. That means your mind right now is into understanding something. In the particular moment when you're actually understanding and grasping this concept, your mind is within the concept. Derech Mashal, for instance, when a person understands, the Alter Rebbe gives an example, when a person understands and grasps some law, halacha, in the Mishnah, the Gemara, whatever book it is, doesn't matter. Le'ashura al-Buria. You really understand it clearly, completely. You really grasp and catch this idea. Your intellect is grasping and surrounding this idea. You have this law in your mind. You got it. You understood it. Begam, second part. Your intellect is invested in this law at the same time. Your mind is within this law. What are you learning right now? I'm learning laws of blah blah blah. So you're into that. Behine. Now, Allah hazu ichochmasei v'retzayne shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This law, what does it mean, Allah? What does it mean, law? In Jewish law, of course. Law means the wisdom and the will of God. She'ala v'retzayne. Because it came up in the will of God. When Reuven declares such and such thing, whatever it is. For example. And Shimon, another person, he says, no, blah, blah, blah. Another, something else, in a different way. So it is the will of God that the judge, the rabbi, listens to what Reuven says, listens to what Shimon says, and says, Yapsak b'neim kach v'kach. The law between them is in such and such way. Okay. This is the will of God. When this guy says this, the other guy says that, this is the law. This is the verdict, so to speak. Ve'af im lo yihayal ve'lo yiyah davar hazeh le'olam lo avoy le'mishpat al tainus etfiyos eilu. And even though it could be that this thing never happened and will never happen, that it comes up to a judge, that somebody declares one thing, what we just said, kach bekach, this and that, and the other one says this and that, will never happen, doesn't matter. Mikol makom me'acha shekach alav b'ritzayinu v'chokhmasei shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, even so, maybe this never happens, doesn't matter. Because since it came up in the will of God and His wisdom that she'item zekach v'zekach yapsakach, that if this guy says this and this guy says this, the verdict is this. Pay attention, something interesting. The Alter Rebbe, the Hasidim say that the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbeim used to say, the Alter Rebbe sometimes spend days and weeks just thinking about one letter, whether to put this letter or not to put this letter in when he wrote Tanya. And over here, first he said one example, and then he brought the same example with a little change, very subtle change. In the first lines of the page, he says, "Kesheiton Reuven kach vekach, veShimon kach vekach." When Reuven says this and that, and when Shimon says this and that, and in the second part, same example, he just said, "Im iton zekach." If this guy says this, not this and that. Just this. And he didn't put a name to it. Just this guy. And the other guy says, doesn't, we don't know the name, just the other guy says that, not that and that, just that. So the verdict is that. What's the difference between the first example and the second one? Very simple. First example is something that might happen. So there's a guy called Reuven, he comes and says, blah, blah, blah. And there's a guy called Shimon and says, blah, blah, blah. In the second case, the Alter Rebbe is talking about something that will never happen. There's no such a thing as a Reuven saying this. Nobody's saying this because nobody will ever say this at all. However, and this is one interesting thing about learning Torah, this is the will of God. That if nobody says blah, 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 this declaration, the other one says the other declaration, so the exact thing, the verdict is that, even if it's never happening, doesn't matter. You're just learning the will of God. We're not learning something, quote unquote, practical. Of course, there are very practical parts of the Torah. But in this particular thing, the Alter Rebbe is saying, wait a second, it doesn't really matter what you learn. You're just learning God. That's what you're doing. You're just learning the wisdom of God, the will of God. It doesn't really matter what it is. Who cares? This is what God wants. Arei. Now, כשאדם ידע ומעסיק ושיח לא יפסק זה, when a person knows and grasps in his intellect this verdict, it doesn't really matter whether it's practical, it's not practical, will happen, never happened, will never happen, I don't care. כי הלכו הערוכה במשנה וגמרא פוסקים, when you know this law as a law that is actually presented, so to speak, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, or poiskim, the great rabbis that wrote different answers and so on, you are actually understanding and grasping and surrounding in your mind the will and the wisdom of God. You have God inside of you. You're catching God, so to speak, in your mind. That we just said in the previous chapter, Eliyahu said many times, there's no thought that can actually grasp him. You're right. But this is his will. And we just said in the previous chapters, also in chapter 2, he and his will is one. He and his Torah are one. So you're grasping God. Whatever he wants you to understand of him, of course. But he projected himself, this is chapter 4. He projected himself into the Torah so we can actually grasp him and catch him, whatever we can. Doesn't really matter what. And according to your level, it doesn't really matter what the neighbor knows and understands. I don't care. I know what I have to understand. Of course, you have to be honest with yourself. And if you can learn more, you have to learn more. Now, again, your mind is catching, grasping, surrounding the will of God, the wisdom of God, that no thought can actually grasp and so on. No thought can actually understand his will, his wisdom, except when this will of God, this wisdom of God is invested in the laws that we have in front of us. In other words, you want to get God? Go learn Torah. That's the only way. There's no other way. Actually, Alter Rebbe says later, much later, in chapter 40, 41, Alter Rebbe says that when the prophet says, Hoy kol tzam lechulamayim, the prophet says, he laments, and he says, everybody that is thirsty, go to the water. But do you need a prophet to say that? No, of course, Alter Rebbe asks, you don't need a prophet. If you're thirsty, you drink water. This is a natural thing. So the prophet is saying something else. If you're thirsty of God, go learn Torah. Maim is Torah. Our sages say, water is Torah. So if you're thirsty of God, what can I do? Go learn Torah. Why? So the Alter Rebbe is explaining. This is what he's explaining. Why did he get into all of this? I should have said it before, but I didn't, whatever. So I say it now, because we just come from chapter 4, in which we explained the levushi, the garments. Machshava divur maise, thought, speech, and action. And within those levushim, those garments, is the will of God. Because when you do a mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it is, whatever commandment it is, you're actually what the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 4. You're actually investing your life within godliness. Because whatever you're doing, you're just doing it because God said so. Not because of anything else. Some people make a terrible mistake and they think Shabbos is so nice and we do Kiddush and we say, and we sing and so nice. I want to do that. You know what? It might be nice. But the reason why we do it is not because it's nice. Who cares whether it's nice or not? We do it because this is what God told us to do. And the Alter Rebbe used to say, even if God told us to go chop wood in the forest, we would be all the Jews chopping wood. What's the fun part of it? Nothing. But whatever, God wants us to chop wood, so we go chop wood. Okay, God told us to do this and that. That might maybe looks interesting. Whatever. But we don't do it because it's interesting, because this is the will of God. So in the laws we have in front of us, through the laws we have in front of us, we can actually grasp God, literally. And furthermore, this is just one part of it, because again, we're grasping God within our minds. The Alter Rebbe said there were two things. On one hand, you have a concept inside your mind. On the other hand, your mind is inside the concept. So here comes the second part. First part was you have God inside of you because you grasped, you understood His will, His wisdom. It's inside your head through the Torah. Begam, here comes the second part. Sichlo melubash bahem, your intellect is within them. The wisdom of God, the will of God. And this is amazing. This is what the Alter Rebbe says now. Vehu ichud niflash en ichud kamoyu. Veleike erken imtza klal begashmus. And this is a unification, wondrous unification. There's no unification like this, and nothing compared to this at all in a physical world. There's no such a thing. I'm inside of you and you're inside of me. It's impossible at the same time. No. To be one thing and completely unified, literally, from all sides and ways. And there's no such a thing in the physical world. However, when a person sits and learns Torah, this is what happens. And this is a virtue, amazing, great, wondrous, without limits in the mitzvah, in the commandment of knowing the Torah and grasping the Torah above all the mitzvahs, mitzvahs, all the practical mitzvahs. Parenthesis, even though in chapter 5 that we're learning right now, that the Rebbe is explaining the incredible virtue of, again, learning Torah, knowing Torah, beyond, above practical commandments, in chapter 35, 36, and so on, the Alter Rebbe goes into the other way. No. Practical things is the best and the highest and the greatest. But whatever, we're in chapter 5 right now. So let's go with this that Alter Rebbe is saying. This is an amazing virtue. Of course, maybe I shouldn't jump it. So let's go to the explanation. Why does Alter Rebbe say in chapter 5 one thing and in chapter 35 a different thing? Make up your mind. What's better, learning or doing? So over here, the Alter Rebbe is talking about uniting yourself with God, being one with God. In the concept of being one with God, there's no higher thing than learning Torah. Forget it. And Alter Rebbe just explained. Two wonderful things happening at the same time. You're inside the Torah is inside of you, you're one with God, amazing. No example in the physical world that we can compare these two. This is amazing. But in chapter 35, the concept is a different one. The Alter Rebbe wants to explain something else. What's the purpose of life? Why is a person over here? In order to bring godliness down here. So how do you bring godliness down here? By doing, I mean stressing this word, doing practical commandments. That's why. So that's the best, highest, in the purpose. What's the purpose? But when you're talking about uniting yourself with God, learning Torah. Definitely. Definitely. That's the difference between these two chapters. So let's move on. I just read this. This is an amazing, wonderous, wonderful, infinite virtue that has learning Torah, knowing Torah, grasping Torah, al kol mitzvos maisis, beyond and above all the practical mitzvos. And pay attention that he says knowing Torah. It's not just reading, blah, 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 blah. I can read the whole Tanya maybe in 2-3 hours and that's it, I read it. Nah. Do you know it? Ah, you have to know the thing. You really have to understand. Whatever you understand, okay, there's lawyers of deepness, that's fine. But whatever you understand, you have to understand it. Otherwise, what are you doing? There's a interesting difference between Torah Shebikshav and Torah Shebalpeh, written Torah and oral Torah. By written Torah, even if you don't understand what you're reading, you're still fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah. Because the letters themselves, they have a holiness, kedusha. Even if you don't understand, by oral Torah, Torah Shebal Peh, you have to understand. The main thing is the concept, not the letters. Even though there are opinions, and there's a letter by the father of the Rebbe, very interesting, like mind-boggling letter, where he says, when God dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated the words of the Talmud. Abaye says, and Rove says, like, whatever. It's interesting to sit and learn. It's a deep, difficult letter. But the point is that in the oral Torah, you have to understand. Understanding is the main thing, not so much the words. In the written Torah, the main thing are the letters, the words, even if you don't understand. So over here, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Yediyas HaTorah, knowing Torah, having it, so to speak, in your mind, within you. And actually, there's a phrase by our sages, the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring it over here, but I humbly think this is what it's talking about. It says when a person passes away after 120 years and so on, Asher Mishibale Kamet Talmud B'yadai. Happy is the one that comes here, I mean above, after 120 years, and your Talmud, your learning is in your hand. Like you bring your learning with you. Because that means it's your learn, it's your Torah. And it's also brought down in Tehillim at the beginning. Torah Hashem, Torah is the Torah, God's Torah, it's your Torah. In the same verse appears the same thing. Why? Because when you know it, it's yours, becomes yours, literally. Now, Gafilu al mitzvah atluyes bedibur, knowing Torah, knowing it's even higher than other commandments that depend actually on speech. Gafilu al mitzvah Talmud Torah shebedibur, in its knowing Torah, it's even higher than the mitzvah of learning Torah with your mouth. It's even higher than that. Ki al yedei kol ha-mitzvah shebedibur ma'ise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu malbish esan nefesh u'makifa oir Hashem meroi shevat braglo. Because when you fulfill any commandment that is related to words, to speech, and related to action, God is, so to speak, malbish. You're wearing God, so to speak. Your soul is wearing God, and God is surrounding, the light of God is surrounding the soul from the head to the toes. That's learning Torah, that's doing mitzvahs, whatever commandments, practical things. Uvi yediyas haTorah, on the other hand, by knowing Torah, milvat she'aseichel meluvash bechokhmas Hashem, in addition to the fact that the intellect is invested, as we said before, within the wisdom of God, hine gam chokhmas Hashem bekirboy. At the same time, God's wisdom is within you. Mashiaseichel masig v'teifes u'maki v'sichloi. Whatever the intellect is grasping and catching and surrounding in your intellect, mashiebshal lelitfois u'leasig medias haTorah. Whatever you can grasp and understand from the knowledge of Torah, ish kefi sichloi v'koyach idios v'sagas v'partes. Each person according to its intellect and your power, your capacity of knowing and grasping in any single part of the Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Stoit, all the whatever interpretations of Torah. Ulefi, and since whatever, the Alter Rebbe just explained the same thing we said before, that by knowing Torah, God is within you and you are within God. By all the other mitzvahs, God is surrounding you. That's very nice, but he's not within you. And by knowing Torah, he's within you also, surrounding you and within you. And since by knowing Torah, the Torah is invested in the soul of a person and his intellect, and it's also the Torah is being surrounded by the intellect and so on. That's why the Torah is called, in our sages' works and words and so on, with the name of bread and sustenance for the soul. What's the bread for the soul? Torah. Why? Because just as the physical bread nurtures the body, when you put it inside of the body, literally, the bread nurtures. And there in the body, through digestion and so on, this bread transforms itself, becomes blood and flesh of your own blood and flesh. It's a piece of you right now. And there's a interesting, very interesting Ramban, commentary of the Ramban, Nachmanides, on Parshas Shmini, when he's talking about the kosher animals, which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher, Jews can eat this, not that, and so on. This does not apply to non-Jews. Non-Jews can eat whatever they want, except for a piece of a living animal, but that's a different stuff, not related to kashrus directly. The Ramban says, we are what we eat. And whatever characteristics, midos, attributes, emotional attributes the animal has when you eat it, that's what you actually acquire. You become that. You become that, literally. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, that the bread transforms, becomes part of you, of your flesh and blood. And then, since you ate, you can live and you can sustain yourself. That's the example, the same thing happens. When you're knowing Torah, Adam, and the grasping of the Torah in the soul of a person, a person that really learns and deeply in within his mind. It's not just reading. We're not talking about reading over here, reading the newspaper, reading the Torah, reading, no. Really understanding and grasping, to the point that becomes grasped in your intellect, and it becomes one with your intellect. And you become one with this idea. There's a point, there should be a point, where when the intellect starts thinking how the Torah thinks, the way the Torah thinks. Not just you think your way, and suddenly the rabbi came and said, you cannot do this, you should do that. Don't bother me. I want to live my life and be happy. Don't come to me with instructions. There's a point, there should be a point, where the mind just starts thinking in a Torah way, automatically. What would the Torah say about this? What would God say about that? And so on. And therefore, nase mazain lenefesh, v'chaim bekirba, v'chaye chaim en seif baruch. This Torah becomes sustenance for the soul and life within the soul from the life of all lives, the infinite, blessed be he, that God is within, as we learned in the previous chapters, God is within this wisdom that you're learning and this Torah that is inside of you. So again, why is the Torah called lechem, bread? Because just as the bread, when you eat it, becomes part of you, the same thing happens with the Torah. When you know it, not just reading, when you know it, it becomes part of you. Literally, it's your Torah. Again, the first chapter of Tehillim, the first verses, you learn day and night your Torah. What do you mean your Torah? It's God's Torah. No. Becomes yours, literally. That's why it's written, your Torah, David HaMelech says, to God. Your Torah is within my intestines, within me. It's really inside of me. וכמו שכוסו בצחיים שער ממדלת פרק גימל, that is written in Kabbalah over there, שלבוש הנשומת בגן עדן הן המצוות. The garments of the soul in the paradise, Gan Eden, whatever that means, are the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs actually surround the person, like the Alter Rebbe brought before, that all the other mitzvahs become a garment for a person. And the Torah that you learn becomes the sustenance of the souls in the Gan Eden, the paradise, that you, they learned in this world, the Torah, for the sake of the Torah itself. Not for the sake of being called a rabbi, not for the sake of making money, not for the sake of knowing things, no, just for the Torah. What does that mean? Just because God wants me to learn Torah, it's a mitzvah, and wants me to know Torah. So again, the Alter Rebbe over here, by bringing this idea of Kabbalah, he's proving exactly the same point. The bread becomes part of you, the Torah becomes part of you, the Torah is inside of you, God is inside of you, and it's brought down also in Kabbalah. You see? The mitzvah is the garment, and the Torah is the bread, so to speak, the mazon, the sustenance. And as it's written also in the Zohar, it's not a mishigas, it's not that the Arizal was crazy and he wrote this. No. This is brought down in the Zohar. Go look there. Now, the Alter Rebbe brought, again, from the Arizal, that the Torah becomes part of you, and that's what sustains you, nurtures you there in Gan Eden, in the paradise. But there's the condition that the Rebbe brought, Lishma. You have to learn for the sake of the Torah. What did the Arizal mean by the sake of the Torah? I brought a simple explanation, but what did he really mean? That's what the Rebbe brings now. Lishma. What does it mean to learn Torah or to know Torah Lishma? For the sake of the Torah, Hainu, kedi lekasher nafshol Hashem, al ydi asagas haTorah, ish kefi sichloi. In order to, nishma, for the sake of the Torah means to attach, to tie your soul to God through knowing Torah, each one according to its intellect. Kama shekosu Pri Etz Chaim, as it's written down in a different book, also the Arizal, but a different book, Pri Etz Chaim. Now, the Alter Rebbe brings here brackets. So let's learn the brackets. He basically finished the chapter, because in this chapter he wanted to explain as a continuation of the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, again, the Alter Rebbe said that the levushim, the mitzvahs, have a virtue over the soul itself, because the soul itself is a separate thing from God. It's a soul, it's a creation. So even though it can be attached to God, it can be connected to God, very nice, but it's one thing connected to another thing. It's the soul connecting to God. And the mitzvahs, in general, they are the levushim, these garments, machshava, dibur, ma'aseh, thoughts, speech, and action. This is the will of God. This is the wisdom of God itself. It's not a different thing from God. This is what Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 4. And then he went deeper in chapter 5 and said, but there's one on top of everything else. If that's what you're looking for, attachment, connection, and so on, there's one that is really, really on top of any other mitzvah. What? Knowing Torah. Not necessarily learning Torah, knowing Torah in your mind. And that becomes your life, your bread, so to speak. Again, now the brackets. Now, in general, the idea of sustenance, it's what is called in Jewish mysticism, oir pnimi, an internal light. That means within you. That's what it means, pnimi, inside of you. Like the comparison, very basic, but just to help to understand what he's saying, what he's talking about, like the comparison between thought and speech. Thought is within my mind, it's pnimi, inside of me. You don't know what I'm thinking, and I don't know what you're thinking. But speech, it's external. It's outside a person. So the mazon, again, the food, the sustenance, the bread, and so on, it's oir pnimi, it's a very internal light. The alevushim bechinas makifim, and the garments surround, just like the garments surrounds a person. ולא, חינם לרזל, that's why our sage said, שתלמוד תורה שהכל גנה לכל המצוות, that's why our sage said, that the learning of Torah is compared to all the other mitzvahs together. Why? Because all the mitzvahs in general are just garments, as we explained. And the Torah, it's a sustenance, and one thing more, it's also a garment, because it's a mitzvah. It's also a commandment to learn Torah, so it's both things at the same time. It's inside of you and it's outside of you. It's again, begam levush la nefesh amaskeles. The Torah is not just mazon, it's not just nurturing, sustenance, and so on, but also it's a garment for the soul that thinks shemislabesh ba, that the soul is invested within the Torah beiyuna velimuda. When you actually go deep into it, into the Torah, and you learn the Torah. How much more so when you actually produce, verbalize with your mouth, with your words, and you actually say the words of the Torah that you're learning. Because the air, so to speak, of the speech becomes a surrounding light, as it's written in Pri Etz Chaim. So again, on one hand, the Torah itself is a mitzvah. To learn to b'shinanta al-vanecha, you have to learn Torah, b'limadate ma'isam, whatever. Whatever verse you want to use to learn Torah, it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Okay. On the other hand, the words that you actually produce with your mouth, that sound, that air that you're using, that also surrounds you. And that's why the Torah is so powerful in compared to all the other mitzvahs together, because it's both things. All the other mitzvahs are just one thing. They're garments. They surround you. This mitzvah of Torah surrounds you because it's a mitzvah, and at the same time, it's inside of you. It's your sustenance. And that gives you, as the Alter Rebbe said, sustenance from the life of life, Chaya Chaim, and Soi Baruch Hu, the infinite, and so on, because the infinite is within the Torah. That he invested himself into the Torah, as the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 4 also. Torah comes down, and so on. So in chapter 5, it is like a huge parenthesis, with Alter Rebbe talking about garments and mitzvahs in general. He says there's one that is really on top of everything else with regards to unifying yourself to God. That's chapter 5. And then in chapter 35, he's going to go in a different road, so to speak, because you should know that actually the purpose of life is to bring down godliness down here. And how do you do it down here? After all, knowing Torah, it's a very abstract thing. It's within my mind. That actually the Rambam says, Sichlim Nivdalim. The angels are like separate intellects, whatever, intellects flying over the air. I don't know what it means, but that's what it sounds like very abstract things. So you don't bring down godliness in a practical way, in a physical world, with abstract things. No. Has to be something practical. That's why in chapter 35, when you're talking about purpose, purpose is down here. Unification with God is up there, abstract. Purpose, down here. Okay, that's chapter 5.